Craft matters in small ways, like how coffee is made or how a wooden table is built piece by piece. And in not so small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS. Not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
Welcome to the New York Times Podcast, your real new music Fridays of music news and criticism. Blah! I'm your host, John Caramonica. That's exactly the kind of introduction I think that Snail Mail should get every single time a Snail Mail song is played. That is Slug. And you may know Snail Mail. Snail Mail was one of the bands featured prominently in our big punk package last year, our big women punk package. And Snail Mail allegedly, presumably, has an album coming out this year. And on this week's podcast, we're getting the whole gang together, as well as some guests who will be dropping in from various locales around the building to talk about what we are looking forward to in 2018. Could be albums, could be EPs, singles, just artists we're excited about, with an emphasis on the young and the new.
On discovery. That's true. Music Friday, as
that
you said.
That is true. I, you know, I'm an algorithm. I'm also a man, but I'm an algorithm. I'm surrounded also by men who are algorithms. I have John Perales, chief pop music critic of the New York Times.
And bio-algorithm.
True story. Get your PhD on that. I've got pop music reporter Joe Coscarelli.
Yes.
Later, Karen Gans, who is doing an urgent editing task at the moment. Our pop music editor will be joining us. And then some guests, like I said, from around the building. People we know have good taste who we want to hear what they're into. We start with Snail Mail. Snail Mail singer is Lindsay Jordan, who is one of my favorite young songwriters, also plays guitar really well. And that's a band that I think out of that whole package we did last year, certainly I was one of the most excited about.
Yeah. A breakout is like barely on the horizon. You know, like it's coming. We're almost there.
And that song that we played is actually from 2016, because there was no Snail Mail new music that I know of from 2017. But I think that's because they signed to, I can't think of who they signed to, but they signed and they'll be putting an album out. One of the things that I really took away from working on that package was an awareness of emerging young songwriting talent.
And there's a lot of it.
Yeah. And so that's who I wanted to open up with, because it's probably the artist I'm most excited for in 2018. Joe, on your list, you have some folks kind of in a similar vein.
Some of it, as you say, coming from this big interactive multimedia package that we did last year about how all the best rock music these days is made by women.
Go back and click on it if you haven't.
Smash that like.
We'll repost that.
Hell yeah.
For anyone who may have missed it.
Yeah. Embed it on your Facebook page. Share it.
Along with Lindsay Jordan of Snail Mail, who signed to Matador.
There you go. Thank you. Shouts to all our friends at Matador.
I have a Matador female songwriter on my list.
Wow.
Who was actually not a part of the package, but that's only because I was already reporting my forthcoming feature on her new album, and that's Lucy Dacus. She's a songwriter from Richmond, Virginia. She put out an album.
Shout out to Tom B.
Called No Burden, independently and on a small Virginia label. It was then re-released when she was signed to Matador in 2015, I believe. But she has been working on her follow-up. I was in the studio with her and her band a little bit last spring. The album is called Historian. There are two songs that are out from it now, and one is the opening track, which is called Night Shift.
Let's get into it.
Is a sort of two-parter. You know, it starts off as a breakup song, and then it blooms into something bigger.
It's like Use Your Illusion Part 1 and 2.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's listen to Night Shift. Yeah, right. But let's listen to Night Shift.
You've got a 9 to 5, so I'll take the night shift. and I'll never see you again if I can help it. In 5 years, I hope the songs feel like covers dedicated to new lovers. You got a 9 to 5, so I'll take the night shift, and I'll never see you again if I can help it.
So, have you heard much of this record?
I have.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard it all.
Can you semi-spoiler it a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, so it's similar to No Burden, her previous release, in that it's short. I believe it's 9 tracks, but the songs can be a little bit sprawling and long, and there's a sort of narrative arc to the album, which I think, you know, touches on sort of family histories and loss of faith, and I think there's a lot of similarities between Lucy and Julian Baker, who I know is a favorite
of hers.
And a friend, right. And they're signed to the same label, and they were sort of both making their sophomore albums around the same time. I know Lucy was quoted in Paralysis' story Julian, and I have been corresponding with Julian about Lucy, so she may return the favor. And, you know, she's just a really sharp lyricist, I think, as the... She has this big voice that she can deploy when she wants to, but she's also just exceptionally clever and economical with her words. She can sort of paint a whole picture in a few lines, and you know what the song is about, even if it's not all spelled out for you. So I just think she's a really strong songrewriter.
While we're on the sort of general area of the package from last year, you also have on your list a song from Soccer Mommy.
Yeah, so Soccer Mommy is another one of these sort of one-woman projects that started in a bedroom and has turned into something a little more. Sophie Allison is the singer and songwriter in Soccer Mommy, and she was part of the roundtable that we did, which included Lindsay Jordan of Snail Mail. And she put out an album last year called Collection, which was a sort of recap of her Bandcamp material. She'd been putting out music since, you know, high school and through, I think, her first year of college at NYU. And now her album, which is coming out March 2nd, actually the same day as Lucy Dacus's Historian, is going to be called Clean. And the first single from it is called Your Dog, which I think is just, it has a sort of wry 90s female rock bite to it. I think she can be pretty droll, but also has a sense of humor that I admire.
Your Dog, Soccer Mommy. JP, a lot of female singer-songwriters on your list as well.
Yeah.
We have a musical, you know, a type.
Yeah.
It's just like we know what we like.
We also know it's good.
You guys know it's good. You're the critic.
That's true.
Just want to point out, in the Punk Women, not a discovery, but a Screaming Females has an album coming out too.
It's true.
In the spring, and the songs that they've been putting out have been really more melodic than some of the earlier stuff, but just as passionate.
And we talked about them as sort of spiritual godmothers of this
of that
loose
package.
Scene that we highlighted.
Yeah, so just a little shout out to them. But that's not on my list at the moment.
It's not. So JP, you want to talk about Superorganism?
Superorganism is this London sort of semi-collective. Most of the band apparently lives together. They are about the most arch, wry, ironic young people I've heard. They use pop, but they also mess it up with a lot of funny noises and strange sort of draggy backbeats. I think she just listened to them. The song's called, and you can choose your irony level on this, Everybody Wants to Be Famous.
Feeling like a frost and staring at the stars. It doesn't matter the cost, 'cause everybody wants to be famous. I'm calling the shots, so see you over at Mars. It doesn't matter the cost, seems like everybody wants to be famous. I think it could be.
Okay, so Superorganism reminds me, I feel like in the almost like early to mid 2000s, there was sort of a quirky strain of pop that seemed contrarian but was not actually contrarian. Maybe like post back. Remember our colleague Siam Michael wrote a thing in Spin Magazine about like the lonesome bedroom eccentric, kind of about Cornelius and folks like that.
Yeah, there is some of that.
There is something. There is a tiny bit of that in this, I feel.
Yeah, well, also they're so laid back about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it might be ironic. It might be post-ironic. It might be meta-post-ironic. I don't know. I really want to see him on stage.
Return of the Slacker?
You can
they do
what
wear tie-dye. She does wear tie-dye in the video. So I almost wore tie-dye today.
Well, you're not?
No, I'm wearing a vintage Free Pimp C t-shirt, if you must know.
Tie-dye in spirit.
Yes, true story.
The thing about the pop slacker was, the pop slacker who sounded like a slacker was busy anyway.
Right.
So these are hustling slackers.
Yes.
And always will be to get heard. How about something completely different, which is I'm With Her.
Yes.
This is a supergroup in its way. It's also you people with your programmed, algorithmic, unreal, hip-hop dominated.
Tell them why you're mad. Tell them why you're mad.
I'm With Her is three women who play so-called acoustic instruments, in case you remember them. Mandolins, fiddles, guitars, virtuosos.
Sarah Jarosz is in this, right?
Sarah Jarosz, Sarah Watkins, who was in Nickel Creek with Chris Thiele. And Ife O'Donovan.
These are each kind of bluegrass dissonance in a slight way?
I go progressive bluegrass.
Sure, okay.
Because they know a lot of chords.
They do. Sarah Jarosz. Really
they also, I mean, they're busy because one or two or three of them tends to be on Chris Thiele's public radio program every week.
Right.
And they have solo careers, but they can harmonize like nobody's business. They just have this perfect vocal blend, and their songs take lots of weird turns. So it's that same kind of, it's like the Punch Brothers or a lot of these people who are playing instruments that you associate with country and backwoods who are more sophisticated than their urban neighbors.
I remember listening to Sarah Jarosz's early records, and I remember being very clear, even because she was putting out records, maybe when she was like 17 or 18.
Yeah, very young.
Really young. And I remember being so impressed and thinking, wow, as much as I love bluegrass music, like there is a sort of like a closed loop mentality, I feel like, in bluegrass. And I remember thinking that she's going to run into the boundaries. She's going to run into the walls.
She ran past the boundaries and knocked down the walls.
So it's good to see her even continuing to do that a little bit more.
Well, all three of them have that same impulse. I mean, all three of them are stretching all kinds of different ways.
So let's listen to one of these I'm With Her songs. Let's listen to See You Around, which is from the new album.
I hear you loud and clear.
distant ringing bell, or the ocean in a shell I held up to my ear, while everything else is breaking like the waves down on the coastline, breaking like the wine-stained glass that held my drink, breaking like the heart that stuck inside my skin. Will it ever beat again? Or just go on bleeding till it's empty, till I fill it up again?
Well, we don't have a whole lot of other sort of country and roots music on our list, but I probably do want to mention real fast Bailey Bryan, who was on my top songs list last year, who is one of what seems to be a growing number of teenage country major label signings. There's another one named Tegan Marie who is coming out soon.
What are you implying? Is there a gold rush?
I think there is. It's strange because I don't know what it's pegged to. It reminds me a little bit of the moment right after Taylor Swift's first album where people were like, oh, we're going to sign basically any young woman and sort of see what happens. Well, maybe it's post-Kelsey Ballerini.
Yeah, I think Kelsey and then a little Maren Morris, a little...
But this is... But it's much younger.
Right.
Like, younger. They're not but signing 20 years. Yes, you know, into the usurious system. Deals when they are 16. Is that right. What you're saying?
Right.
For Lil Pump?
Are they just singers or are they writing their songs?
Bailey Bryan, I think, is doing both. Tegan Marie, I don't know. I do feel like there is like a swell that's starting to happen, and maybe it is post-Kelsey. Let's switch genres. Let's talk a little bit about R&B. Let's talk about Georgia Smith. Georgia Smith is a singer I like very much, maybe because she reminds me a lot of an era that is very important to me, which is when I lived in London in the late 90s and paid a lot of attention to British music in the early 2000s. We're talking about Speed Garage into Two Step Garage, and we're talking about garage remixes of R&B songs, and we're talking about a vocal style that somehow managed to be quick, but at the same time has a sensuality that kind of like finds a groove inside of quick-moving production. So an interesting thing about Georgia Smith is I feel like she's kind of a balladeer making fast records, as opposed to sort of a club singer making slow records.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by the Stormzy collaboration that she put out recently. Slow.
It's slow, although when I went back to listen to older Georgia Smith songs, they all are kind of like fake fast. Like they may be fast, but they feel fake fast. But this felt like the kind of like smart iteration, you know, Stormzy playing the penitent or not very penitent lover, etc. So let's listen to that song. That song is called Let Me Down.
Slap. You've got me, I ponder on that. Said I'll be back in a sec, I need to reflect. But you swear it's been longer than that. Time is gold and time is thin, but time is rare, so we squander on that. I feel your pain when I hear your voice, so fix your tone and it's stronger than that. And you're like the strongest girl I know, probably the strongest man, it's my mum. Don't go wasting your loving on me. When I see tears on, I'm likely to run. So girl, don't love me, I mean it. When I say I love you, I mean it. And it's my car, choose to be distant. But it's off, can't know what a queen is. So why do I?
You to let me down?
Why do you let me down? Why do you let me down?
I've got you to let me down.
Sometimes your world spins round, but you never had a king to now.
Only you can understand why.
Now, don't you understand why these things never come to play?
I've got
okay, staying in R&B for a minute. So I'm sure you guys are familiar with Crew, which is the Gold Link record that is Grammy nominated and features Shy Glizzy. There's a version of it that features Gucci. But the hook is by an R&B singer named Brent Faiyaz. And he had a project that came out last year. I think maybe two projects. And I think it's very interesting. There's aspects of a Bryson Tiller, but also of a Miguel. There's an earthiness and a bottom to the tone, but it's like a thin and sweet voice that he has. And I feel like there's a lot of promise in there. And even though he's good on Crew, and I think low-key the best part of Crew, I think there might be more in store for
I would argue for the Shy Glizzy verse.
That does not surprise me.
but the thing about that hook that I always liked is that it sounds very familiar in a good way.
Yes.
Like, the first time you hear it, it makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. And his voice is just very familiar. And you're like, is this a sample of a 90s song? Like, it could, you know,
but it could have come from. And a lot of the music that he put out in 2017 has like a similar energy from the production to also the way that he engages with the beat feels very mid to late 90s. So let's listen to Gang Over Love by Brent Faiyaz.
I was celebrating. Have a dime, but I was always focused. I ain't waste no time. I ain't ever calling my name. I used to walk to work every day. Me and my dog, like it or not, I came out alright. All the homies, we can move the same way, and I swear ain't nothing changed. Got a little bit of change in my pocket, but I maintain. We were young and in this world, chasing dreams and girls, running from our problems. I know that we older now, but that's what we were. Remember we were young, young and dumb.
JP, you have someone on your list who I know nothing about at all. Who is Kiko Bunn? What's the vibes?
Kiko Bunn is Federico Marin. He's a Londoner who's kind of a reggae crate digger. He's into samples and beats. I have the feeling but he's a singer. I mean, but he has a DJ mentality in the beats he builds. I'm not sure what he's going to turn into. He writes these very fun songs, and he's got a, you know, good, solid reggae voice. I'm not sure how jive he is or how manipulative he is, but he's got a really good ear for sticking together sounds. He throws hip-hop drum sounds into reggae. This song that we should play, A Fistful of Nothing, is just a great little production.
So that Kiko Bunn record should have shaken a few things loose in your head. And you know what? It's Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood up in here this week. We got some guests. First one just slid in, not into your DMs, you sick-minded listeners, but onto the fourth microphone. It's Corey Sika. Say hi.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Oh, hi.
I'm here in the studio with you all.
Oh, my God. Welcome to Popcast.
This is amazing. It's
first time
control.
On the Popcast.
And maybe last.
We're about to find out.
Yay.
So, Corey, this is not a total random thing. I asked Corey to come with some heat about music that he's interested in. I'm aware that he goes to concerts, which is a thing that many people do not
do.
What was the last show you saw?
The Breeders played the other week. It was really good. I've been seeing a lot of bands.
The Breeders
that I
are
loved
a rock band, FYI, from the 90s.
They're all touring right
I mean,
now.
They're all the great bands of the 90s. They're touring. I saw Throwing Muses not long ago, and they were amazing. And I was like, this is like being
Kristen Hirschhive. All right.
Yes, in the house.
Yeah. So
I've really put myself in a zone, though.
That's all right. But we're about to yank you into the present right now. You want to talk about Someone you saw recently, right? Didn't you?
I recently bought tickets to a show and did not attend, which is what you do as a middle-aged man. As many of us know here, I think.
But shouts to supporting a musician.
Yeah, the artist is getting paid.
That's great.
It was more comfortable for the people in the seats next to you.
There you go.
As a six-foot-tall man who usually slouches at shows as an intentional solidarity movement with women and people who are smaller than me.
Did you know you were going to be getting a political read on concert attendance on the podcast this week?
Political.
I didn't know.
That.
Is this where I apologize to the young woman at the Jonas Brothers concert that I had to cover? Who I was standing in front of and asked me to move. I said, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm here for work. Okay.
Wow. But no. usually you stand on the side.
I do, but this was the setup Time's of this up, show. John. The setup of this show was like not set up for me to win, to be fair.
She hates you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I want to
apologize. If it had been like an L7 show, you would have gotten your face punched
that's
in.
That's true. Well, to be fair, I'm surprised I didn't get my face punched in at the Jonas Brothers concert.
Yeah, tough crowd.
Corey, what's the artist?
I thought maybe we could talk about a woman who goes by the name of Tay Shi.
Yes, and you want to listen to Creep. Let's listen to Creep, and then we will talk about Creep. Corey, talk to us.
So that's a bit of a song from something she, what did you say, dropped last
that's
year?
That's true. Yes.
Wow.
I just wanted to say that.
Yes.
I like music. Here's the funny thing about music for many of us who are civilians, which y'all are not, is that I don't know who anyone is that I listen to anymore.
Because of the streaming? Because of how you playlist?
The streaming society.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, totally.
This surfaced for you on Spotify? Like, how did you stumble on
good
this?
Lingo. Good
know.
Lingo.
She had a great song in 2015 that was a real jam. That was intense. That was an intense sound.
I meant that. That was
that's
gonna
jam
be my
sound.
That's my Funk Flex bomb drop. It's going to be me kicking.
Whatever that thing.
He's
whatever that
Foley
thing is.
Work now.
That's true.
Prank Foley.
Well, at least I know that economy is not.
And I don't know where this song came from. It came from someone's playlist. Maybe it was one of you. I don't know. Yeah. Once you listen to something, it literally does follow you around now.
Yes.
In this place.
So what is it you like so much about?
She has a weird thing where she is clearly an art rock nerd at heart, but is trying to be a club singer or a rock person, and she can't decide, and it's like really tearing her up inside, clearly.
And is that a struggle you feel in your personal life as well?
Yes, I also feel that way.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, we all seek out music that answers questions that we're asking ourselves perpetually, so I can respect that.
The thing I relate to about her most is that I went to high school in the 80s. I don't mind saying out loud.
Thank you.
Represent. There was a time when there was a major, major, very gay new wave movement. It was like Bronski Beat and Depeche Mode and Pet Shop Boys and all this stuff. And I wouldn't listen to any of it because I was like, that music is extremely gay. And as a young gay, I was very worried about that.
You're like, so, stop putting me in your box.
Right. So I was listening to rap and metal mostly, and then only discovered this kind of synth pop and great stuff as a more mature, confident adult.
When you knock that chip off your shoulder.
Yes. So she appeals to me in that kind of genre.
So she's nostalgic for the music you didn't hear in the first place.
Yes.
Wow.
She's what I would want to listen
to
if I was a kid.
What's the German term for that? Email us at podcast@nytimes.com if you know the German term about for being nostalgic for the thing that you should have listened to as a young person.
It's out there.
Corey Zika, thank you so much for coming on Popcast.
Thanks for having me. I'll always regret not being able to come back. Goodbye.
Thanks, Corey.
While we're waiting for, we should have guests rolling in and out for the next little bit. So while we're waiting, I would like to talk a little bit about Bad Bunny.
Go in.
You know, Bad Bunny. Obviously,
not Bad Baby.
No. Well.
While we're here.
I mean, sure. Wow. Is someone written the Bad Bunny versus Bad Baby? If it was the Village, if it was Village Voice in 1998.
That would have been written.
There would have been a 2000 word essay already. It's,
there's still time. That's a 2018 piece.
Okay.
If, assignment
if not us, then yeah. then one of you, yeah. dear listeners. Bad Bunny had a huge year. Bad Bunny also played two New Year's Eve shows in New York on this past New Year's Eve, which I learned while I was doing our New Year's Eve
back
things.
Back-to-back New Year's Eve
shows. He did a Bronx show and a Queen show. So shouts to the high demand for Bad Bunny.
And the logistics.
Yes, Bad Bunny is the leading eccentric of Latin trap. He has a sort of a much more serious voice than you would think from looking at him. He has a incredibly kind of outlandish sartorial presentation and look, but he has this kind of a, there's like a lowness to his voice. I don't know. I think it's the contrast between how he sounds and how he looks kind of gets to me sometimes. And he has, I mean, I would say he has a new song, but he's got like 667 new songs. But a recent song that I liked a lot is called Shambea. So let's listen to Shambea by Bad Bunny. Chambea, hala, ya no te quedan balas. Chambea, hala, ya no te quedan balas. Yo siempre picheo, enrolo otra vez. Yo siempre picheo, enrolo otra vez. Yo siempre picheo, enrolo otra vez. Yo siempre picheo. Dímelo, parcero. Siempre con la seta y no somos salseros. Ya usan soltero. Dijo que de bala va a haber aguacero. Gusanos como tú, yo no los tolero. No te eres chota, tú eres reportero. Yeah, yeah. Yo no soy Don Omar, pero soy bandolero. Por eso solo creo en Dios, y en mi 4-0. Yeah. Picante, picante como un habanero. Si tú tienes la llave, yo tengo el llavero. Chambea.
This podcast is supported by Washington.org. Washington, D.C. offers visitors so much to explore. Just ask Dayo, who shared her experiences from a recent visit.
What was your favorite food all weekend?
The Ethiopian food at Sihe.
And the first place you would visit again?
The bookstore, Little District Books.
What did you appreciate the most?
Really just like the genuine kindness of everyone that I encountered this weekend.
Why should people visit D.C.?
Well, D.C. is a place with such a thriving culture.
Washington, D.C. has something for everybody. Plan your next trip at Washington.org.
I'm Julie Turkowitz. I'm a reporter at the New York Times. I have been trying to understand changes in migration. So I traveled with photographer Federico Rios to the Darien Gap, this hot, mountainous, 70-mile stretch of jungle straddling the border of Colombia and Panama.
We're hiking through a river, just like covered in mud.
Many used to think that this route was impassable, but thousands have been risking their lives to pass through the Darien, almost all in the hopes of making it to the United States. We spent 9 days hiking through the gap and weeks building trust and relationships with migrants, with smugglers, with migration authorities to even be able to do this reporting. We interviewed hundreds of people who have made this journey to try and grasp what's making them go to these lengths to find a new life. New York Times journalists spend time in these places to help you understand what's really happening there. You can support this kind of journalism by subscribing to the New York Times.
Okay, so speaking of slightly left field turns, Joe, you've got Claro on your list.
Yeah, Claro is a name that
industry plant?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Claro's a name I started seeing on YouTube and some smaller blogs like towards the end of last year. And it turns out she has this weird viral song called Pretty Girl. It has, you know, a few million plays on YouTube, and it's her sort of sitting in front of her computer. It has it like, you know, looking straight into the camera. It looks like photo booth or whatever on your iMac. And it has sort of karaoke lyrics, and it's just this sort of bedroom pop, dreamy, a little bit lo-fi, but just funny and catchy and a little bizarre. And,
you know, she's a 19-year-old from Boston. Pigeons and Planes covered her a bit. I think she just had a little Q&A on Pitchfork. Things seem to be moving for her. The fact that she hasn't put out another song since this one song that really blew up lets me know that there's some behind the scenes machination going on. Yeah, saving things for the album.
You early adopters.
Today, a friend of mine, Hey Zara, sent me a Reddit thread.
Shouts to Zara.
And I guess someone had figured out that possibly her father is affiliated with the Converse record label Rubber Tracks.
Strong words, record label.
But okay. So, you know what I mean.
Recording studio slash
music something, branding,
Spawn.
Exercise.
Spawn.
Anyway, so there's
Is the name of Claro's album going to be hashtag Spawn?
So there's this sort of, you know, there was a little bit of backlash in that, you know, this bedroom pop project is getting all these views and she opened for Tyler, the Creator. And now people are saying, well, maybe her dad's in the music industry and making this happen. It really reminded me of sort of stage one Lana Del Rey when there seemed to be this obsession with undercutting her online rise and saying that she was a label planner, that her dad gave her all this money, that she changed her name and is fake and blah, blah, blah.
Lizzie Grant.
You know, I'll just say Lizzie Grant won, so I don't know where all those people are.
Look, Liz, I'm not going to disagree with you as far as Lizzie Grant won. Her dad made money in domain names, is from what I understand.
Did you do the investigative
I think that
reporting
was a thing.
On that?
I think that was sort of public. Yeah. I don't know if I uncovered that or if someone else uncovered that and I just read it.
Yeah.
But I think her dad is in domain names. Speaking of which, the person who's holding on to johncaramonica.com, like email us.
Please let it go.
Podcast@nytimes.com, caramonica.com. Like just, you know, it's like, it's not, be a decent person is I think what I'm saying and let the name go.
Right.
Free johncaramonica.com.
But so I like these songs, but I also like that there's already this sort of like a narrative about her, a counter narrative. It's just the way things are moving online, I could see her having a big year. And actually, my favorite song of hers that I've heard is not Pretty Girl, which is the popular one, but it's called Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
No Takis, though.
Also my snack of choice.
Is that true?
But it's a...
What do you do when the red dust gets on your all-black outfits?
I'm very good at keeping the red dust localized to two fingers, and then I wash my hands.
Solid. With that life hacker, better, smarter living advice, let's listen to Flamin' Hot Cheetos. I feel like fast food enthusiasm is a thing that some of us share on our team.
Some of us. Me, you, and Karen.
Yeah,
JP, you never eat fast food with us.
No, that's all right. And I want to say that I don't judge you for that. So I don't know. What's the fast food situation on the Styles desk, I wonder? We now have new guests from the Styles desk who've slid in. We've got Joanna Nikas.
Hello.
Bonnie Werthon.
Hey.
Hi. Speaking in the mic. Share your feelings. What is the fast food vibe on Styles?
We're more of a sweet green desk, which I don't want to say that I'm a part of the sweet green front, but I do participate sometimes.
What's the worst thing you guys eat?
Strippers.
Shake Shack.
Okay. So basically the worst thing you guys eat is the best thing. Okay. All right. That's good.
We'll take it.
Yeah, it's fine. So both Joanna and Bonnie picked a song each, both which have a little bit of Sugar Rush to me, at least in my opinion. How you like that segue?
Is that what the fast food thing was about? Or you just wanted to know what they order on their floor?
All my cons are long, dog. Let's start with Joanna. Joanna, you picked Lizzo.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Lizzo. Tell me why she speaks to your heart.
Well, so Lizzo speaks to my heart. I'll first give you an instance how yes, I first heard yes. Lizzo. So I was in Miami. It's my 30th okay. birthday.
And that's the podcast this week. Thanks for coming.
I was in an Uber with all my girlfriends. And
oh, wow. This is you see where this is
going. Ox yeah. Queen, shout out to Jennifer Jenkins, puts on Lizzo.
True.
And we just all, like, we listened to that song maybe 5 times in a row before mm-hmm. we got to where we were going, which mm-hmm. I think was Live.
Wow. You really did Miami for your 30th birthday.
This is, yeah. Why did we even record the rest of this podcast? We could just record that and just pub it out.
It's now Corey and Joanna's
podcast. We don't own this anymore. So just people who are listening now, just erase the last 45 minutes from your memory. So
the song was playing. It was just like a really like fun moment with all my girlfriends. Really, like her music is very empowering, very body positive, very just inclusive of women in general. And so it just felt like a good moment. We listened to it many times over and over again. It was just fun.
Okay, so I'm going to play it once. But if you are so inclined, you guys who are listening can rewind and listen to it.
Or you can
times.
Go to Live.
You can go to Live. It's true.
They didn't really
or at least, if I didn't play it ad-lib, you can take an Uber to Live.
Well,
you
can take an Uber to Live.
This is Truth Hurts by Lizzo. Test, turns out I'm 100% that bitch. Even when I'm crying crazy, yeah, I got boy problems. That's the human in me. Bling, bling, then I solve them. That's the goddess in me. You could have had a bad bitch, not committal. Help you with your career. Just a little. You're supposed to hold me down, but you're holding me back, and that's the sound of me not calling you back. Why men gray till they gotta be gray? Don't text me, tell it straight to my face. Best friend set me down in the salon chair. Shampoo press get you out of my hair. Fresh photos with the bomb lighting. New man on the Minnesota Vikings. True hurts needed something more exciting. From the start. Hey, I'm glad you're back with your bitch. I mean, who would wanna hide this? I will never, ever, 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 ever be your side chick. I put the singing single. Ain't worried about a ring on my finger. So you can tell your friend. Shoot your shot when you see him. Bonnie, you came with a wild left field pick.
Would you really say that?
I honestly...
For me or
not
for people?
No, for people. Not for you, known horticulturist Bonnie Werthon. So I had not heard this song. I heard about this song, but I had not mm-hmm. heard this song. I listened to it, and I think it's fire.
Did you listen to the or read the Spotify, like,
no.
you know, annotations?
No. What are, I don't
the
know.
Genius annotations on Spotify.
Never heard of it.
Whoever, like, writes those called it, like, a millennial material girl. Which I think is not wrong.
I'm about to tell you. It's called I Don't Want It All by Kim Petras. And let's, before we get into the conversation, let's listen to a little I Don't Want. Hell, let's listen to a lot of it. Oh, I want all my clothes designer. Oh, I want someone else to buy them. Yeah, if I cannot get it right now. I take a sip of this and a hit at that. I'ma have everything on the rack. Oh yeah, oh yeah. And if you give me everything I want, baby, maybe you could be the one. We can kick it, we can have some fun. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Baby, don't you fight it. Close your eyes and swipe it. Maybe I could be with you. If you buy me diamonds and you keep me smiling, baby, I can be with you. Oh, I want all my clothes designer. Oh, I want someone else to buy them. Yeah, if I cannot get it right now. Now, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it at all. I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it at all. Give me all of your attention. I have a feeling this might be my Uber to Live. song.
For me, it's like, you know, I'm a big fan of like Ariana Grande, Charlie XCX, and Carly Rae Jepsen.
Like so you I said, feel Sugar like, Rush.
Yes.
I feel like this Kim Petras kind of puts together pieces of all of them. She's also collaborated with Charlie before. So I see her going in that direction, and I think of that as a promising streak.
So when I put this into YouTube,
yeah,
something that came up on the related videos was a CBS News or CBS This Morning thing.
Yeah.
It says Kim Petras, world's youngest transsexual or something like that.
I think that she, for sure, she's the youngest person to have gender reassignment surgery in Germany.
Okay.
So she's like very famous there. She's a model and like something of an influencer there.
How old is Kim Petras?
I would guess like 20-ish right now, but I don't actually know how old
she
is.
So this it comes up on it's world's youngest transsexual in quotes, Kim Petras on CBS This Morning.
Another reason I'm kind of interested in her is because she is, I think, the first young woman who Dr. Luke has worked with since the, like, Kesha, you know, battles,
sure.
I guess. I think the choice for him to work with this, like, young transgender pop artist comes across as, like, a redemption tour, kind of, and I'm interested to see if that's, like...
This is loaded. I'm excited to see where all this goes.
Also, shouts to Julianne Shepherd, who now I realize I had like, a pretty long conversation about this with Shep a couple months ago.
I don't know. It seems so transparent, right, that he would go out of his way to, like, court.
But it has a sort of, an air of, like, especially with the video, like, hyper-reality.
Yeah.
It's pop that doesn't feel exactly like cooked from the same elements that like most of the stuff that you talked about being into.
Though it definitely has like the 80s kind of dreamy stuff that like Emotion had.
Yeah. A little bit of PC music in there, maybe, like a little bit of that. What's the rollout for Kim Petras? Do we know?
She's supposed to have an album this year. I don't know when.
All right, watch for it. Get involved, Kim Petras. Joanna and Bonnie from Styles. We welcome you back to the fourth floor very soon.
Thanks for having us.
So happy you guys could join us. I want to be honest. I feel like we have been under-guested in Popcast now. I'm starting to feel like I want to have...
In the post-Ben Ratliff era?
Yeah, I want to have like just people fall through. I want it to be much more loose. We're just going to be inviting people. Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to do in choosing guests is bring people from around the building who I know are really interested in music, but who may not have a chance to talk about it or cover it in the pages or on the web pages of the New York Times. I have James Thomas. James is a software engineer at the paper. Hey, James. Hey,
thank you.
James and I have emailed a few times. I know James knows what's up. And so when we were doing this, I was like, I got to know what he's in here for. So, James, of everyone who I emailed to be a guest, you came through with the most amount of heat, changing minute to minute. So, James, I know, is actively listening and has some very good taste. But what we landed on, tell the people what we landed on.
So we landed on August Green.
Yes.
This is, you might call, a supergroup composed of Robert Glasper, Grammy Award-winning pianist, Common, who's a Grammy Award-winning MC, and Kareem Riggins, who's a drummer and producer and is probably best known for being the guy who brought J Dilla's The Shining album to completion after he passed in 2006.
So the song is, this is the first, it's a new project or a new recording unit. The first song is called Optimistic.
Yes.
And Optimistic is a cover.
Right. It's a
cover.
Or a
reversion.
Right. Sounds of Blackness had the original in 91. And it's actually a song of great import, particularly at this moment. And it's not a retread, but it's still just as powerful.
Yeah. So let's listen to a little bit of August Green, Optimistic, and then we'll talk about it.
Living an ambition on a mission impossible. Envision optimism through a prism that's optical to see through obstacles and be remarkable. Living it for the infinite, intuit of the intimate, influenced by the sentiment, sent to it to winning it, surrendered it to the sky, centered in my eye. Living in the glory and the story of a warrior, Victoria, the more we love. From how poor we was to euphoria, kicking the door because we think notorious.
As long as you keep your head to the sky.
I enjoy the song. I enjoy this version of it. I appreciate Glasper's signature. I appreciate Brandy sounding more controlled and inspired than I've heard her
in a while.
Yeah.
And Brandy is a guest on this. She's not a part of the group, but she's a guest on this song.
Right. Yep. If in the original, like, Ann Nesby's sort of all-out wail was, like, the strength of it, I think here we're finding that Brandy's control, it's almost like she took to heart the optimistic message of the original and is, like, super confident now.
Why do you think this project is happening now?
So we're at a moment of flourishing Black creativity.
Yeah.
It's kind of a balm for all the stuff, all the trauma that Black people have been enduring in the current climate, you know, between Charlottesville and the poorest communities in Houston getting flooded out and whole countries. This is right on time.
It's striking because I think hearing Common back rapping in a context like this, for me, as a fan of like Day One Common, this was the most invigorating context I've heard him in a while as well. It's nice to hear him sound energized.
Absolutely.
And I feel the substance embedded in the aesthetic form is what's doing that for him. That's how it feels.
Well, I also have to say, I'm really curious what their originals are going to be like. I mean, they're working on an album. I'm going to see them actually in a couple of days. I'm really curious what the rest of the project is.
Do we know? Do we know if it's mostly going to be covers or originals or?
No idea.
Have they not talked about it? They haven't really talked about it.
I actually like not knowing.
Okay.
Just let them go in the studio, bring the heat.
Figure it out.
Magic, yeah.
Right. So more to come later 2018 from August Green. James Thomas, thanks for coming through.
Thank you for having me.
So happy you could be here. The rotation continues. The heat continues. Right now, we got Andrew Chow from over in our section, in the arts section. Andrew, what's up, man?
Hey, John.
Andrew's here with the flourishing hairstyle.
I'm letting it go.
Yeah, that's a wave. Trust me, it's a real Caramonica 0203 wave. I respect it.
Always my inspiration.
I mean, it was a good period. To be fair, it's a good vintage. Andrew's here to talk about an artist I know you have an abiding interest in, and that is Rich Brian, formerly known as I just don't even want to say.
Unfortunately,
it.
Yeah. I wish we could just move past this.
Yeah, let's just say Google it if you don't know, like just so I don't have to say the word. So. Rich Brian has been around for a couple of years.
Yes.
You want to talk us through, before we get to the song, you want to talk us through the backstory.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So 2 years ago, a video went viral on YouTube. It was called That Stick.
Yes.
It was released by, I'm going to say it, Rich Chiga.
Okay, there it is.
Deep breaths.
Yes.
He was a 16-year-old kid from Indonesia who had been making Vine videos, just like funny, you know, comedy Vine videos, put out this song. And it went viral. Now, and it's a song about killing police.
Yes. Should we listen to a minute of That Stick or 20 seconds of it?
20 seconds.
Let's listen to a minute or less of That Stick. Every time I see a big, I don't hesitate to kill him. And nobody give a fuck about a rule. Either get diplomas or a tool. I'm a cool with my youngest no boo. When I spray in this cage. Okay. So, like, just full disclosure, I like That Stick. I always enjoyed the song.
I forgive you.
Thank you.
And you too, Andrew.
I think it's, yes, there's a lot of forgiveness on this particular section of the podcast. I always thought it was clever. It was clear he wasn't totally cooked with the ideas, but I was very impressed with the technical dexterity of his rapping. And there is obviously, in addition to the video where he's wearing a fanny pack, there's also the secondary 88 Rising video where, like, basically Ghostface Killah is made to watch this video and then gets excited about it. So, like, it had, like, sort of a long viral life. And then he continued to make music. It yes. turned out to not be, like, a one-off.
Well, it was supposed to be a one-off. Like, he was a Vine star, not even a star. He was just this kid making comedy. This video blows up, and then he's like, oh, I guess I'm a rapper.
I guess I have to be a rapper now. That's how it works.
That's literally how it works.
Shouts to that boy Rice Gum.
And many others.
Yes, plus Bad Baby.
Yes, the fidget spinner kid.
Hey, that's a rapper.
That's a real rapper. Matt Ox. We don't disrespect Matt Ox
okay,
on the podcast.
No disrespect to Matt Ox.
Oh, my God. I am overwhelmed myself.
But the crazy thing is that he kept putting out a drip of music videos, songs, and bars and verses, and he learned how to rap on the fly. And okay, so his new album comes out next Friday.
Right.
It's called Amen. He produced all the beats on it. So he learned how to produce these like gorgeous trap beats. He learned how to rap in like rapid fire flows. He has this beautiful, deep, menacing voice. And he's created this really specific aesthetic for himself out of nothing. He's just this kid on the internet. He says he learned English off YouTube videos, which I'm not sure if I believe because he speaks English perfectly.
Yeah, I feel like when he was on Sneaker Shopping with the god Joe LaPuma, I think that he basically implied he watched Sneaker Shop. Like, I can't even
he basically learned English from Sneaker Shop.
Like, from Complex Video, or maybe, like, Jinx videos.
I learned English from Emily Bella Hadid on Sneaker Shop.
And that's, that's, to be fair, you could get it.
You could get it. You could get it.
So let's listen to, so this is from the album. This is from the new album that we're going to listen to.
It may or may not be on the album.
Oh, damn.
They played me the album yesterday. And so this song is called See Me, which I think is one of the strongest songs on it.
Okay.
And they said it may not be on.
Okay, so See Me by Rich Brian.
Running for the fun, I feel like you saying in this shit. Passing all these runners, number one is in my list. Blinders on me, I can't even see. See me in my tubas by myself. Call me selfish because I got me and nobody else. Myself another love just like it's pretty young. 20 mirrors in my crib, I'm hanging with my friends. Feeling like I traveled through some time, oh man. Skipping through some years, but I feel right, oh yeah. Getting ready for some blessings coming our way. Forest, forest, running for some things. I do this shit to the greatest role. Already got through the greatest goals. Met with a girl when I went back home. She put me in a good chat with a piece of talk to us and emojis to the piece of that beat it until I wanna go sue me.
One of the things I found interesting is the more he's been rapping, he's been moving away from comedy a little bit.
Yes.
And so he's arrived at something that feels, even though I'm not totally sold on it, feels kind of novel.
Mm-hmm.
The aesthetic choices and the kind of the lyrical ideas, like, they feel new to me.
Absolutely.
Even if I like that stick more.
It's a tough pivot.
Sorry. But we'll see. And based on what you heard of the album, is a lot of the album in this vein?
Yes. I mean, the aesthetic is fully formed.
Yeah.
The raps are very confident.
And it's all serious.
I mean, there's funny bits of it.
Sure.
But he's like a rapper. He's not a comedian rapper. He's just a rapper. And I'm here for it. I'm super
and I'm
here
not
for
a
it.
Journalist podcast host. I am just a podcast host. Andrew, thanks for coming through and talking about Rich Brian. The guests keep continuing, but you know this guest. It's Karen Gant, pop music editor of the New York Times. Karen's coming off of an urgent editing assignment, but she is here because the podcast matters.
They're all urgent, John.
Podcast is urgent.
But I'm going to speed round my new folks for you.
Okay, so Karen's coming through with three new artists that she's very excited about. Karen, let's run.
Yeah, here we go. We're going to talk about Bat Fangs.
Yes.
This is a
Give
duo.
Us a sentence, yes.
Betsy Wright from XX, you know that band, Mary
True.
Timoney, and Laura King from Flesh Wounds. This band sounds like fun garage rock. Their self-titled debut is out Feb 2 on Don Giovanni. Let's listen to Rock the Reaper.
That sounds like, I haven't even heard it yet, and it sounds like Gans Wave.
It does.
It's Gans Wave.
We'll be right back.
More Gans Wave is on the way here.
Oh.
We're going to talk about Acid Dad. This is a Brooklyn psych garage trio that I'm a big fan of.
Good band.
Reminds me of Walt Mink. For those of you who don't know Walt Mink, St. Paul power trio from the 90s, I love. Go listen to 1996 album El Producto, please.
Is Gans Wave the new Spotify core?
I think it might
please.
Be.
Oh, my God.
Pay me. the song is
I'm going to get a Topsify Gans Wave playlist going.
This is the song I want you to hear now. It's called 2CI. Okay, and now I've got a curveball for you.
Going.
We're going to talk about Shun.
Yes.
Shun. That's Cody Critchlow.
And Shun, just if you're Googling, it's S-S-I-O-N.
Yes. Name came from Mission of Burma, I believe. There's a long story involved with that.
Okay.
Shun is sort of, he's not just a musician. He's an artist. He's a performance artist, a video director. He did the artwork for the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Fever to Tell, which was just reissued. He's directed videos for all these people you love, like Robin and Santa Gold. He's
multi-hyphenate.
True.
He is. He's a multitasker.
A lot of 1099s.
Yes. The song I want you to hear right now is called Come Back. He is back. It's like a dance floor thing. It devolves into this weird digital freakout at the end. And his new album is called Oh. It's out this spring.
And we're getting excited about that.
I'm pretty excited. Sean is amazing. Let's listen.
Don't you ever go away. Tell me, can we get together? 'Cause baby, I am here to stay. I always knew you would come back. I always knew you would come back. Come back to me. I always knew you would come back.
Thank you, Karen, for coming and playing Speed Round on such a busy day.
No problem, John.
I appreciate it.
I'd love to be here.
I know you do. We wish you were here the whole time. And thanks for coming.
Bye.
Okay, so let's close out strong. Joe, you picked a beautiful one. Let's talk about Rude.
Rude by O3 Greedo. He's an LA rapper slash savant slash, you know, outsider artist.
Great
voice. You know, I think his star has really risen in the past few months. He got out of jail, released a mixtape called First Night Out that was available on all major streaming services until it wasn't.
I happened to look for this song on Spotify, and there's like basically something called The Real O3 Greedo, which is not The Real O3 Greedo.
Yes.
Or the real Greedo.
So he was signed to 300, I believe. And, you know, he basically he can sing, he can produce.
Yeah.
He makes sort of these weird lo-fi records where the vocals are way down in the mix.
Yep.
I think Mafia Business is the sort of biggest song of his career so far. But, you know, he does this R&B thing. He sounds a little like T-Pain to me sometimes. He has like this nasally, mm-hmm.
auto-tuned voice.
He's like a Dame Funk meets DJ Quick kind of
Yeah, with it's, like a little Gucci, a little T-Pain. It's like, you know, and I think it's just, to me, it represents this sort of like broader street rap wave that I think is coming hard this year.
And especially from Los Angeles. There's a lot of great, interesting stuff coming from Los Angeles.
Definitely.
And also from California, while we're in the O3 Greedo space, I don't know if you've been listening to Shoreline Mafia at all, but OMFG, Shoreline Mafia, Hyphy 2018, but from Southern California, young kids, wilding, they make me happy. I want to hear all Shoreline Mafia 2018. Let's listen to Rude. So to close out the podcast this week, I have another hip-hop record coming from an entirely different perspective than O3 Greedo. I want to talk about J. Grams.
I thought it was going to be Lil Xan.
Nah, you know, Xans won't make me, okay? In case you were curious, they will not make me. So J. Grams is someone who I found on Instagram. He is from Baltimore, and J. Grams basically makes very, very solid 1994 to 1996 New York rap music. He's young. I'm guessing he's in his late teenage years. Maybe he's 20, 21. And there's something very reassuring. He has, I feel like he's listened to a lot of Big L, Children of the Corn era stuff. I'm hearing maybe even the Artifacts from 93. Like, I'm just hearing a lot of that stuff that really mattered to me when I was 17, 18, 19 years old. And I think he's very promising, even if he is not making music that is interesting to most of what's happening in hip hop right now. It's like the anti-sound. So to go out this week, let's hear Hype Beast by J. Grams.
Yo, I'm focused on the passion. I ain't worried about the newest fits. I'm sprinting in the X. You probably fuck up your Louis kicks. You imitator. A real phony like a simulator. Tell a man he whack about once. And yo, you've been a hater. Society having you in the stump. Killing each other instead of somebody killing Trump. So what the fuck is going on? I'm about to pass the baton. The type of shit that I'm on can leave it and get home.
And that's our show. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Thanks to Joe Coscarelli, John Perellis, Corey Sika, James Thomas, Joanna Nikas, Bonnie Wertheim, Karen Gans. Did I forget
Andrew anybody? Chow.
Andrew Chow. The whole squad. Whole lot of gang going on in here this week. You can listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. You can email us what you're excited about. podcast@nytimes.com. Also, the Ashley Simpson podcast is coming. The questions we've been getting are brazy. I want more. Hit them.
I've been listening to Autobiography on my phone all week.
There's so much heat coming, you have no idea. Watch for that in February. Our producer, who is patient and kind, is Pedro Rosado from Ed Sepper Media. We are back next week. Pedal to the metal with a lung full of gas.